Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 12, and I am Libya, your host. And this week we have two guests.
Hi, this is Greg from St. Louis.
And Peter from Los Angeles.
Woohoo! All right, this week I have kind of minimal news, but in number, but not necessarily in significance. News came through that Gary Coleman died at the age of 42, which is surprising because I remember watching the show on repeats when I was a kid, so it's kind of like, it feels like, you know, one of those, it's not exactly the same age, but it just touches me a little more because that was a star from when I was a kid. And Dennis Hopper died this morning, so that's also
sad.
Big news, yeah. I never know how to react to the whole death news, and somebody also just said, you know, everyone dies in threes, so everyone's kind of like waiting on bated breath to see who the third is. I kind of think that's a bit morbid, so I'll try not to think about it.
I think if it ends up being Lindsay Lohan, it'll be a big...
Why would you say that?
Well, because Corey Haim just died, and the reaction was, even though it was sad, the reaction was, we can't say we were surprised. I would say the same thing if it ends up being Lindsay Lohan. It's not that I want her to die, but...
I just don't...
She looks older than me in pictures. And for everyone listening, I am not young, so... It's weird. I don't know. I think she looked really horrible. And I don't want her to die, but I would not be surprised.
Wow.
Okay, let's move on from deaths, please. The other news is that Cartoon Network has greenlit Green Lantern TV show animated series, but it's not supposed to premiere until after the movie premieres. So we got a little ways before that comes out. But I'm kind of excited because I love Green Lantern.
Me too.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I'd want to reassure everybody out there that even though we are what I call finaleing out a lot of our shows, and which will actually be made a little evident from this particular podcast, we have a bunch of new shows that are coming back for the summer, our summer shows, and I want to just kind of give a list of those shows so you know that we'll have stuff to talk about, which means you guys have a homework assignment of watching some summer shows, please, so we can all discuss. Lie to Me comes back June 7th. Burn Notice comes back June 3rd. True Blood comes back June 13th. And this new show called The Good Guys premieres June 7th. I'm kind of excited about that only because I am recently and lately into West Wing. And it's The Good Guys stars Bradley Whitford. Thank you.
Whitford. I think it's Bradley Whitford.
Yes. So I'm excited about that. If I could pronounce his name, it would seem like I was more excited. So that's all my news. Do you guys have any news?
I'll be trying to catch up on some shows that I hadn't finished yet. The shows you just mentioned, I'll totally be watching True Blood, but I've only seen the pilot of Burn Notice, and what was the other one you mentioned?
Lie to Me.
Oh, and I have it. I just haven't watched it yet, but I know you really like it. I just haven't seen it. I'm going to be trying to watch The Wire, kind of the way you were watching The West Wing.
And that might also be one thing that we'll do over the summer. We might have some special podcasts. I know we're going to have a special Lost podcast. So we might have, like, maybe I'll bring in some guys and we'll have a West Wing podcast because it'll be all fresh for me. And if you guys have some ideas of any kind of special podcast you want to have over the summer, let me know because we should probably have some time to do that kind of stuff. All right, let's break into the shows. The first up is the 24 series finale.
24, it was an absolutely great series finale. I really enjoyed it. I started to get really concerned about Jack's character because it seemed like he had completely gone off the deep end. I mean, and you know how Jack can be if you watch a show for many seasons, that he can just completely go over the line. But this was completely over the line. I mean, he just went on a complete tirade, killing everyone and anyone who had anything to do with her death. And I really didn't know how they were going to try to end it. And I'm really happy that President Taylor finally decided to do the right thing. She finally realized, I think, I saw it was kind of subtle, but when she had stepped up to the podium and she was going to sign the peace treaty, and she actually had President Hassan's pen in her hand, and she was looking at the pen, and then she looked out to the audience, and at least from my point of view, I saw that she was kind of looking for her chief of staff, who had actually abandoned her several episodes previous, because she had started to take the path with President Logan. I think that was the one thing that really tipped her over the edge, and she finally decided to do the right thing. And I'm really happy that they didn't do the scorched earth sort of thing where they just killed everyone in the end. I think that probably leads into the rumors about a 24 movie. I don't know if anyone's heard anything about that.
Well, I heard that they're doing it. That's pretty much all I've heard.
Oh, so they're already, you know, budget everything.
Yeah, as far as I've heard, it's pretty clear that they're trying to pull that off. Like they're writing the script and everything like that. Like that's moving. But we should probably, that'll be, you could do that, your assignment for the news for next time that you're on, is you can find out details for that.
All right. I'll actually have news. But I really enjoyed the ending. It was a kind of heartfelt, teary ending with Chloe, with the conversation between Chloe and Jack, talking about their many years together and how Chloe really stood up for him and really watched his back. And she was really instrumental in making sure that he didn't get killed by the series finale. So it's a wonderful series finale, and I look forward to whatever they decide to come up with for movies.
Well, that's pretty cool, because I think a movie would work better, because I felt like they didn't have enough juice to finish out this last series, because it floundered. I was in for longer than some of my friends, and I still fell out before the end. But I have it all on TiVo, so that will be one of my summer assignments, is to finish that series off.
I'll probably finish it too, just because I'm just curious. But I agree. I stopped watching it this season, but it's the last season, so I would probably want to finish it.
Yeah, it feels incomplete for me, so I do need to figure out what happens at the end. And I appreciate you not completely giving me spoilers, even though you totally legitimately could have.
Yes.
Well,
there were some concerns this season. If we look back, and you know, just from watching the show for several years, there were several occasions when it's almost like they jumped forward in time. You know, the show really got its start because it was supposed to be in real time. And if someone was actually on their way from another location, it actually took them 15 minutes before they showed up.
Yeah, that stopped happening a couple seasons ago.
Okay, maybe I just noticed it more this season. But
well, I mean, first of all,
get off the phone with that person, and they just showed up in the door like two seconds.
Well, the other thing is, because I live in Los Angeles, and they'd be like, I'm going from such and such a place to such and such a place, and then they get there 5 minutes later. I'm like, there's no freaking way. You know, so when we watch it, people who live in L.A., we know that you can't get from wherever to wherever they're going in the amount of time that they say on the show. So I was already aware they were jumping in time, especially for travel. Because actually in L.A., you would spend the entire hour, the entire episode would be you sitting in a car trying to get to wherever you're trying to get to.
Right. But it's highly believable if they decided to cast 24 in St. Louis. You actually get there in 5 minutes, but the past season was in New York City, and I'm not really sure that they would be able to get where they were saying they were going.
Only if they were riding the subway. That's the only way I would believe it. Because I lived in New York, too, for a while. So, yeah, you can't drive there from here in that amount of time. It's not going to happen. But I want to move on to House really quick, which I know was last week they had their finale, but we had a full schedule. And I just wanted to mention the show I had. I don't think I've mentioned House since the podcast started, but I've been a fan of the show for quite a while. But the show this season has been kind of mediocre, so I didn't really feel the need to talk about it. However, their finale was outstanding. They had a really good season finale. House has been struggling with his sanity, like literally, for the whole season, because he was in a psych ward at the beginning of the season, and he got out, and he's trying to handle himself, and Wilson kind of put himself in as his not exactly arbitrator, but kind of like sort of warden or whatever you want to call it, but he moves in with Wilson for the whole season, and they've been living together, and Wilson's been looking out for him, and it's been working out pretty well. And then the last two episodes, his support mechanism just kind of fell out from under him. Wilson started dating his ex-wife, number one, I think, and Wilson was like, all right, we're getting serious, I need you to move out. Which I thought was pretty cold. I mean, even if House hadn't had psychiatric problems, the fact that this is your best friend and he gives you, like, one day notice or whatever, he's like, yeah, me and my girlfriend are working out, so I need you to move. I'm like, what are we, in college? It felt pretty cold, especially for guys who've been best friends for as long as they have. And House actually, you know, didn't give him a hard time about it at all, which should have been an indication that there was a problem. And then he went to talk to his psychiatrist, who he's been seeing all season, and told him, you know, some of what was going on. And House basically got to the point where he felt like all the good stuff that he had been doing all season, he'd been behaving himself, had been acting like a regular person, had been doing good things. You know, his psychiatrist promised him that if he did all that, then his life would change for the better. And he's looking around, and his life is actually worse. So he's like, what was the point? So he fires his psychiatrist. So his psychiatrist is gone. He's no longer living with Wilson, so he's lost that mechanism. And then Cuddy gets engaged, and she's going to marry his other friend. Because Cuddy started dating the one other guy that House thought of as a friend, and now they've moved in together, and now they're engaged, and he's just like, he's got nothing. And so he's at that kind of point, and they have like this crisis, which is pretty interesting. And this woman is like under this building in this one-on-one time with House, and there's no patient of the week, which I think rarely does the patient of the week really work on the show. And this week we didn't have a patient of the week at all, which I thought was really great. I'm not going to spoil the end exactly for that, but it was pretty heart-wrenching, everything that happened at the end of the episode, to where his whole life just kind of collapses on him. And he's been off of Vicodin for a year, and this was like his big temptation back onto it. And it was really, it was good. It was moving. I was crying. It was sad. So I'd say thumbs up for the House finale. I'm excited about next season. I'm excited to see what happens next, which House sometimes does a really good finale and sometimes not. So.
Yeah, and I kind of thought it was about time. It seemed as though Wilson and Cuddy had been supporting House and his bad habits for such a long time.
True.
And no matter what House did, no matter how he stabbed them in the back or did whatever he did, they always seemed to go back and support him. And I really loved to see that, you know, enough is enough scenario. And they finally just, you know, went, you know, I'm done.
Well, they did that kind of last, like when he was actually still using Vicodin. I think that that's a very good statement that they should make. But the problem was, this season he's really been struggling to be a better person. He stopped using the Vicodin. He stopped being as abusive. He stopped all that bad behavior. And now they tell him they're done. So that actually makes them seem to be cruel versus, you know, doing the right thing and stop being an enabler. They weren't enabling him for quite a while, but now it's like he's really doing a good job, and they just take his foundation out from under him. So I was not particularly happy with them, especially Wilson. Wilson came off as very selfish.
I think that Wilson had done enough to support House over the course of their friendship, and each one of them really needed to have their own lives.
Well, yeah.
Starting her own life with her boyfriend and him and Wilson getting back involved with his ex-wife, they're finally moving on. And so maybe that's going to open up the storyline for new characters to interact with House.
Okay. What do you think about 13 leaving?
You know, honestly, no opinion.
Honestly, I don't care. I had a very similar reaction when she like turns in her resignation letter. I was like, all right, whatever. Like, yeah, I never warmed to her character.
That's Olivia Wilde, right?
Yes.
Yeah. She's in Tron.
Awesome.
Well, I'm sure she already finished filming Tron.
Yeah, totally. I mean, they already shot Tron, so she's in the trailer in one of the suits, and I was like, oh, that's that girl from House. But I don't watch House, so, but, like, yeah, I mean, obviously you guys, she didn't leave much of an impact as a character on
Not
you
at all. I mean, when Cameron left, I actually felt something. When Olivia Wilde was like, oh, I gotta go, and when she has her goodbye scene, she's not even talking to House. She's not talking to any of the main characters I care about. She's talking to Taub, and she's like, yeah, I'm leaving. And he was like, oh. Like this is the whole... Even his reaction was kind of lukewarm. So...
Well, they didn't really do... I thought she was an interesting character. One, when she was dating Foreman, and they had the whole interaction there. But then also, they had her background with Huntington's disease, which I thought gave some depth to her character, too. But then they just totally didn't even, you know, really talk about that this past season.
Right. Yeah. All right. That's enough House discussion. I thought it was great. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Next up is Big Bang Theory, which I thought this week's was pretty good. It was the finale, but it didn't actually feel like a finale. It felt like a regular episode. And there were two plots going on. One was Penny's dating a new guy who is literally a Neanderthal, and the gang do online dating for Sheldon, which actually had a pretty interesting result.
That was cool.
Well, see that... The result to me is the season four setup, right?
Right, but it still didn't feel like a finale, but yes.
But it made me go, oh, I can't wait to see more of this, like, so.
Yeah, what I really liked was the idiot guy, because even Penny was, who's not the brightest star in the heavens, was pretty embarrassed to bring that guy around once she realized how dumb he was. And I thought that was a really good indication of actually hanging out with these guys. She's become smarter just by being around them. And she actually is aware now when people are stupid. I think that's great.
No, I agree with you. I remember I was talking to Julia, and I brought this up with you the other day, that I was concerned about, since Penny and Leonard broke up, I was kind of like, well... If Leonard goes on dates, that would be kind of funny, because then you can have Penny be jealous and the girls can be weird and everything. But I was like, yeah, but if Penny has dates and they're just these really cool, good-looking, cool guys, I'm like, I'm not really sure how I as an audience member would react, because, you know, of course she can get a date. You know, she's Penny. But they actually did their solution, which was he's this guy who really seems really dumb, and the fact that, like you said, because she's been hanging around the three main characters for so long, it's kind of changed her. That actually was more successful than I thought it was going to be, because I actually didn't think Penny having dates would work, but I actually thought that was kind of funny, so.
Oh, what did you think about her drunken hookup with...
Well, it was awesome. I mean, I like them as a couple, so... Or wait, let me rephrase that. I don't necessarily like them as a couple as far as writing, because I actually think some of this season got a little boring, because I don't know if they're that interesting as a couple. However, I do like her liking him, so yeah, of course I liked when she called, came drunk. And then, of course, he tried, and not to the same success, you know.
That was pretty funny. Greg, you got any comment?
Yes, it was the booty call. Yes, that was fantastic. And actually, whereas you were looking at how... Penny's character had developed with regards to her going back into her old rut of dating stupid guys and then now realizing that they were stupid. I was looking at the episode as what a wonderful depiction of the double standard, because a woman can get completely drunk and come back over to her ex-boyfriend's house and fool around and do whatever she'd like, and it's perfectly fine. But if he does it, it's not okay.
Well... Kind of. I mean, I see what you're saying, except that the fact is, I mean, because it is a television show, Penny is on the show, she is the attractive one, and Leonard is not. So, I mean, if it was flipped and Penny was kind of homely looking and Leonard was some hot, good-looking guy, I think you could have flipped it and it would have been fine. The fact, I mean, and they're young, they're only, I think they're all supposed to be young 20s, right? I think.
Well, I'm also going to go out there and say it's the guy versus the girl, which is guys will say yes to any girl
right.
who offers sex.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Is that a bad double, are you saying that double standard is untrue?
He's just
no.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. All right. I think the double standard is very valid because I think that that's true.
No, I'm saying it was a great depiction of that because it's absolutely positively true in life.
Okay. All right, let's go on to Chuck. This week we got two new episodes. And what was weird is it actually felt like a series finale. It felt like the show, I think mainly it stems from the fact that they didn't know if they were going to get renewed or not. So they basically wrapped everything up, and then the last 2 or 3 minutes, they gave you, like, okay, this is what we'll do if we get picked up again. So it was good, but it did feel weird, because I already knew that the show had been renewed, so I was expecting a cliffhanger, and that's totally not what we got. We really got a series finale. Agreed?
I kind of felt like that was the case, too. I didn't really... especially with the shocking reveal of their father getting killed,
yeah,
it really felt like things were ending. So I was really happy that they added some interesting things at the end.
Well, I mean, they hyped up the mom a lot, so it actually didn't surprise me. Where our tag for next season is we're gonna get intro to the mom now that they kill the dad off. Though I really like the dad. I'm gonna call shenanigans on. Chuck being special in that he got the intersect as like a 8-year-old boy, like really? I'm not sure if I buy that. That felt cheap and cheating. And the only thing that it did was in the middle of the fight and his intersect is freaking out on him, he reboots. And if he could reboot, why does he need the governor? That's my question. So, that felt a little cheesy and cheap, but overall, I really did like the finale. I liked Casey, meeting his daughter and everything like that. That was all really good.
I thought it was a great season finale, too. I wasn't really happy about Shaw coming back, because I was kind of wanting him to go away.
Yeah, Shaw is the worst good guy and the worst bad guy I've ever seen on that show.
Yeah, he's not even menacing. I mean, even when he's, you know, supposed to be threatening Chuck, he's got a smile on his face. So
he's awful. And when they brought him back, because he dies, and you think he's gone, and then they bring him back, and then they almost kill him a couple of times. I'm like, would you just freaking die? Like, he is awful, and I never want to see him again.
Yeah, so I hope he goes away.
Yes.
I am kind of getting tired of the whole ring thing, so I hope that...
They're done with the ring. I think the ring is over.
I hope we're done with the ring, but you never know. With his mom coming in, you know, she might be a ring agent. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, they introduced the boxes with all the other titles of all the other groups, so I think we're going to get a new group.
Oh, okay. Good.
All right. Enough Chuck.
Actually, I did have... I can't believe we haven't brought this up, only because you're talking about Chuck. This actually should have been for news, but what do you guys think of the Alias 2.0 that they're supposedly talking about rebooting Alias? Obviously not with Jennifer Garner, but I mean with a new cast and, you know, but it's still Sydney Bristow and all that stuff. Actually, I wouldn't mind that. I think that they could do a better version of that and not mess it up like they did last time.
I have not heard of this at all. What are you talking about?
It was at... I think it's at Deadline Hollywood Daily. It was a few days ago, and it was like Alias 2.0 ? And I was like, "What?" Like, so
would J.J. Abrams be involved?
I think Abrams would be involved, but I think he's so big now, it's probably more that he would be, you know, just executive producer because clearly he's prepping Star Trek 2. So
if there's no Abrams, I'm not in. No, thank
really?
You,
dude. Abrams is the one who messed up the whole last couple seasons.
No, he didn't mess it up. He was gone. That was the problem.
I don't know. I think if somebody takes the mythology of Sydney Bristow, somebody could come up with a good scenario. It's possible. And if you cast it well, it could be good.
Yeah, you'll let me know at about season 3 All right.
I'm just saying I would be down with that. I'm not saying I think it'd be the best thing ever, but
I got burned. I got burned by the Alias train. No, thank
you. Exactly. That's why this is their way of making it up and fixing it.
Yeah, but if you don't have the people who actually made it good in the first two seasons, why would you assume that it would be good?
Because I'm hopeful.
Yeah, all right, you let me know about that.
And I wasn't a fan of the original Alias, but if something new came out, I wouldn't be opposed to watching it.
Yeah, I mean, the first two seasons are really good. I think Libya would agree with that.
Yeah, they were, and then J.J. Abrams left, and then the show went down the toilet.
Yes, that's true.
So,
but, I don't know. Anyways, you brought up Chuck, so I thought about, I'm sorry, I should have brought up a news. Sorry about that.
All right, that's fine. Next show up is Glee.
Oh, Gaga.
Yes.
It was interesting because, you know, Madonna has, like, what, 25 years of being Madonna and has so many, like, 30 million pop hit songs and everything. So when they did the Madonna episode, it was, like, wall-to-wall Madonna. On the one hand, I kind of felt like, well, it feels almost a little like Glee's kind of selling out because it's almost like brought to you by Madonna. However, watching it, it reminded me of all the Madonna songs that I liked. You know, I was like, oh, I like that song, and I like when they're... There's a scene where they're going in the hallway and they're all wearing different Madonna outfits from different periods. So when they did Lady Gaga, Libya, I know you only knew like one Gaga song, but I have her album, so I mean, and her EP or whatever. So I know all her songs. I guess it was weird because the commercials promoted it as Gaga, but it was really more of a Gaga Kiss Outrageous Costumes episode. Because there's only, if I'm right, it's only two Gaga songs and two Kiss songs. So I guess it wasn't what I was thinking. That said, I still like the episode, but I didn't like it as much as the Joss Whedon one the week before.
I actually didn't like this episode much at all. Mainly,
well, but there's one thing you liked.
There's one thing I liked. Are you reading my
mind? The big scene with the dad. That's a great speech.
I was about to say, are you reading my mind again? yes. That scene was fantastic. Kurt and Finn and the dad that in the basement... With the wrench. Yes, that was a really good scene. I thought that Finn was a little more... He was more hateful and hostile, and it felt a little out of character. But I can understand a teenager being uncomfortable if he feels like another guy's attracted to him. I get that. But the hostility, the level of hostility, I felt was out of proportion for Finn's character. So
I kind of think that, too. But I liked the dad's speech.
Oh, so it was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But let me go back to, that's the one thing I liked about the episode. Let me go back to my hate, which I usually don't do too much. I try not to. But you hit on the point of, I didn't know any of the songs, which is very unusual for me on Glee. There's always some songs that I know. And this week, I'm not a big Kiss fan. So I knew none of the Kiss songs. And Lady Gaga, not a Lady Gaga fan, I know one of her songs. And so I ended up not knowing any of the songs for the entire episode, and I found myself fast-forwarding through them. Because it didn't grab me, and except for, I have to say, the mother-daughter song, just because they were just really talented. And they both sang very, very well.
My wife told me that the woman who, as we now know, is playing Rachel's mother... One, they look a lot alike, but she's a big Broadway star, and she and Kristen Chenoweth were both in starred in Wicked, and yeah, I thought she's a really good singer. I mean, like, actually, I think Rachel's a good singer,
right?
But I think her name's Ariana or something. Like, I thought she was fantastic.
Right.
She has a great voice.
And that actually made me ignore the fact that I thought the song was all right, but the singing was fantastic. I did not like how quickly they resolved the whole mother-daughter storyline. I was like, either do the story or don't. I don't know what the heck this in-between crap they were doing was. It was just very unsatisfying, and I felt like they shouldn't have even bothered with it if this is what we were going to get out of it. There was no drama to it. There was no emotional impact at all. I'm usually the one that's hyping Glee and saying it's better than you guys think it is. This week's episode, I'm going to say the opposite. Because I really didn't like it.
Thumbs down from Libya.
Yeah, on a Glee episode. Yeah, I got two thumbs down, actually. I really didn't like it. I never need to see that episode again.
But I did like... There. Okay, wait. The moment with the dad was nice. And there's also a plot thread where I'm sorry, I don't remember the character's name, but it's the Asian girl.
Oh yeah, with the goth. Okay, that was pretty good.
There's a scene where she, the principal thinks that, almost believes it seems that because she's dressing like a goth vampire, we start to believe that maybe, I think Mr. Schuster's like, do you think vampires exist? And that was pretty funny. And what she does as a result, which is dress up as a vampire and pretend she's a vampire so that she you know, she can scare him into wearing her outfit. Actually, I thought that was pretty funny. Like, I did like that.
Yeah, that was cute. But, I mean, both of those scenes together adds up to, like, 2 or 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's saved the episode. I'm just saying I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, but, it was. It was. And that's and the principle's absolutely ridiculous, but I enjoyed it. Next show up is NCIS. I haven't talked about that show probably since I got the interviews, which was in the first couple of podcasts. But we had our season finale this week, and I really enjoyed it because, for me, the show is about Gibbs. I mean, it's about the family, but Gibbs is my favorite character. So this episode was primarily about him and about his background and about... the rules. I love Gibbs' rules. I'm such like the super geeks about the show have the rules memorized, you know, because he has these rules to live by and work by, and Gibbs rule number whatever, you know. And so this episode was actually called rule number 51, and I'm like, oh, I don't know rule number 51, and that becomes obvious because he actually makes it up at the end of this episode. But in the last, because it was like a 3-part finale, they were like, it's rule 40. Like, what the heck is rule 40? And they tell you what rule 40 is, which is if you think they're out to get you, they probably are. And then he leaves a message for his old pal, and he's like, rule number 44. And you're like, what? And then this week we found out that rule number 44 is hide the women and children. And we're like, oh, okay. So, and they tell you that any rules that are in the 40s means that you're in serious danger. So it was very exciting. It was very tense, and I liked how it ended. And I'm kind of excited about. I mean, it didn't really end on a cliff. Well, actually, it totally did. I just remember the end. I was about to say it didn't end on a cliffhanger, but like the last 30 seconds was that basically this cartel was trying to control Gibbs, and they told him that if he didn't do what they say, they would kill his family. Meaning his the people that he works with, who he considers family, and his father, who lives by himself way out in the middle of nowhere. And he's sort of working, he's really not working for them, he's trying to capture them and double-cross them or whatever, but he thinks they don't know it yet. And the last scene is one of the cartel members walking into his dad's grocery store, which freaked me the heck out. I was like, no! Not Papa Gibbs! So, I'm very scared, because if they kill his dad, all bets are off, man. People are going to get sniped all left and right, because Gibbs is a Marine sniper, and that is his preferred method of killing people. So, all right. That's my excitement about the show. Peter wanted to talk about Lost a little bit, but I will tell you guys, I have forbidden any spoilers about Lost in this podcast. So, go ahead, Peter. Give it to us.
Well, we find out at the end. I've been talking a lot with my friends back in Chicago and my friends at work. See, in general, the consensus was that we all liked it, some more than others. I actually watched the finale twice. There are definitely some in the camp that I did think were... disappointed in the same way that any kind of big arc show is going to have some disappointment. Battlestar Galactica also had some people that were really disappointed in certain things and other people that were like, no, I liked it. So I'll say this, and this has no spoilers at all. I thought it reminded me of the Buffy series finale, which is to say... that obviously a lot of stuff happens, a lot of it is very emotional, a lot of it is about where the characters end up. But at the end of the day, when it finished, I kind of felt like you could have kept going as a show, which was kind of weird. Like, you know, some television shows, when they end, you're kind of like, well, there's no way, you know, I mean, that's it, that's the end. this one I was kind of like, well, actually, you could do another season. And I think that's probably my biggest criticism. But you know, that was standing. I really liked it. I thought it was very emotionally, I thought it really worked. I you know, especially watching the second time. But we will talk more about it once Livia has watched it.
I know. I'm holding up the podcast, but I promise we will have an all Lost, more than you can stand, probably 2-hour podcast about Lost once I catch up. The next thing, Peter, you said you wanted to talk about Parenthood finale.
Well, you know, I've been a big fan of, a few years ago, 30, well, how many seasons is 30 Rock? Is it 4 now or 5?
I'm going to say 4. I don't know.
So, 4 years ago, two shows started about doing a variety show. One was a sitcom called 30 Rock. The other was a hour format show called Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, which is made by Aaron Sorkin, your West Wing guy. Studio 60 only lasted a season and was canceled, and 30 Rock, obviously, as we know, is beloved and is very long-running. This year, we got two shows that are also similar. We have a show all about families. One is a show called Modern Family, and that is the half-hour format that gets great reviews and has been renewed, and I think everyone loves it. And I love it. I think it's fantastic. And then the other show is Parenthood, and that's more of a drama. I like it. I like Parenthood. If it were to get canceled, it wouldn't be the end of the world, but, you know, it's got a really good cast. It has Lauren Graham, and, you know, Livia, you like her from Gilmore Girls.
Yes, I do.
So they had their finale, which basically was Lauren Graham's, once again, has a troubled daughter, but not a smart-alecky one like Rory Gilmore. This one, it's, I think the character's name is Amber, and it's the actress who played Anne on Arrested Development. And basically, she kind of runs away in the finale, and the whole family has to come out to try to save her. Honestly, I thought it was a little disappointing that that was what they came up with for their finale. I was like, really? The teenager's gone on a lamb? Can we find her episode? But that notwithstanding, I think that, you know, my wife once said that, like, one of the big thing about movies, and especially television, is this idea of having affection for characters. You know, I think a lot of us will, you know, we'll accept a lot. I think Glee gets off on that a lot. The reason that I put up with a lot of mediocre Glee episodes is because I genuinely like the characters. You know, I like Kurt. You know, I love Sue Sylvester. I just really find them engaging and stuff. Grey's Anatomy was like that for a while until it really got terrible. But I would say Parenthood is a lot like that. I like the actors. I just, there's a warmth that the show has. Not the best finale, but it's its first season. But I would say it's worth, if you like that kind of show, I think, worth checking out. It's well shot. It's got a warm look to it. And yeah, it's nice. But again, I'm not saying like best ever. It's not like Party Down, which everybody's watching. Which is free on Netflix Instant. Anybody can watch it. If you like Veronica Mars, fantastic, Rob Thomas. So a lot of uses a lot of people from that show. But I know I've already got my soapbox, got on my soapbox about Party Down. So I will stop now.
Well, I told you this summer will be a good summer for catching up with different shows. Well, one, I have to catch up with shows that I didn't watch during the season, like 24 and Flash Forward. It'll also be the summer of me. I gotta crank through, 6 seasons of Lost this summer. So this.
Well, just so viewers know, or listeners know, you have watched the first 3 seasons, but it's been such a long time.
Right, which is why I'm going to watch it from the beginning.
But it's not like you've never seen it before. You have watched
some. Well, you know, if I had never seen it before, I wouldn't care as much about spoilers because I wouldn't know what the heck you guys are talking about. But because I've seen the first 3 seasons, I know who everybody is and I know generally what's going on. So any spoiler I hear will actually mean something. And so I've actually amazed myself that I've managed not to hear anything about the end of the show. And because I actually got spoiled for the end of The Sopranos, and I had never seen a single episode of that show, and I knew how it ended. So that I was terrified of that happening with Lost, but so far so good. I'm not going to curse myself. I'm going to, you know, I got a couple more weeks of West Wing. I'm on season 6 of that show, and once I crank through the rest of West Wing, then it is time for Lost. All right, next show we have is Flash Forward, the series finale. What do you think, Greg?
Yeah, I know a lot of people didn't like the show. I think a lot of people compared it to Lost. I myself, and actually I know you, if you could kill me like right through through this recording, you probably would, but I've actually never seen an episode of Lost.
Well, I'm not going to kill you. It's on Netflix Instant, the first 5 seasons. Nothing stopping you from watching it.
Okay, I'll have to catch up.
Well, you can watch it. When I start, we can start together. Or actually, you probably should get a head start because I watch stuff really fast.
Yeah, apparently, since you've been on a bender with West Wing.
Yes.
Yes.
But it's... go ahead.
Yeah, but Flash Forward, I guess we all knew that Flash Forward was not getting renewed. But the season finale kind of assumed, I guess, that it would be renewed because it does add some interesting questions at the end that you kind of want to see what's going to happen, but we're never going to get to see what's going to happen. So, but that was okay. And actually, I think Olivia, I think you and I have had an argument about some of the Flash Forwards because in particular, the Flash Forward that Alex Kingston has, who plays Fiona Banks.
Yes.
So Alex Kingston also plays River Song in Doctor Who.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I remember in the flash forward that she had that the birds were crashing into
the windows, right?
And in a previous episode, they were talking about the crows or something that you know,
they fell out of the sky in Somalia.
Yeah, they fell out of the sky. And so I was actually hinting that during their flash forward, another flash forward was going to happen. And that's exactly what they kind of reveal in the season finale.
Oh, and I remember I was arguing with you about that.
Yes, yes. And I win, by the way. So just to point that out.
Don't want to gloat or anything, but yeah, okay, that works.
No, yeah, so sure enough, it basically comes down to, you know, everyone who already knows what's going to happen with their future does what they can to try to keep it from happening, but it seems like everyone kind of, you know, it's almost like that, you know, destiny sort of thing where everyone pretty much ends up where, you know, where fate means you to end up. And right during the flash forward, we find Olivia, and you know she's in the house with Simcoe and the kids, and they hear the agent talking about how Mark Benford was going to die because we basically find out that he's really in on his assassination, and they were trying to kill him in the first place. But Mark Benford ends up actually in the FBI building, in his office, exactly where we saw him in the flash forward, and we actually see sort of everything going on, and we see everyone's flash forwards kind of take place almost like they were at the beginning of the series, but not quite. So,
well, because your knowledge, your foreknowledge of events are going to change it. It's like observing an object kind of deal.
Right.
Okay.
But I thought it was very interesting, and everything kind of plays out, and then we also see that the next flash forward is occurring, and I think that was going to lead into whatever the next season is. I think the only thing that really kind of disappointed me about it was it seemed almost as Mark Benford had kind of accepted his fate and that he was going to die in the FBI building, and so he's just kind of sitting there, and you know, he's hiding, and he ends up making a phone call to his wife to, you know, to tell her how much he loves her or whatever. And then all of a sudden, at the last minute, he decides to leap out of a window onto a helicopter. So I don't really understand that at all.
That's awesome. Well, that's one of those shows that I lost steam watching halfway through. Like, I got about halfway through Flash Forward, and then it just became boring. And I never finished it, and I don't know... Everything that everybody's told me about it, I'm not sure if I feel like I need to finish it. Like, 24, I feel like I have an obligation to finish the show. Even though it lost some steam for me, I still feel like I'm so invested that I need to just finish it. Flash forward, I might just delete the channel. I don't think I care. All right, let's go on to Doctor Who. This week's episode is Amy's Choice. which is which world is the dreaming world and which one is the real world?
Amy Paul.
thoughts on the episode other than her name?
Wait, have we all watched it, or?
Yes.
Yes. Oh.
I was a big supporter of, this season of Doctor Who. I really love the premiere, and, Libya and I have argued about, whether or not Amy, the actress playing Amy, or as the character, if she really works, and, you know, I've always kind of liked her, this girl that grew up with a, you know, with a crush on the raggedy doctor, and she likes him, obviously, and then he takes her away the night before. She was always like, oh, this will be kind of fun, because the new doctor, is it Matt Smith?
Yes.
You know, he's young, too, so it's not like Christopher Eccleston, you know, some guy in his 40s, and then there's a flirty thing with this girl in her young 20s, because they both look about, yeah, they both look about the same age, so I don't mind the flirtiness, but I don't know, man. Like, these last few episodes, I feel like they've killed all that goodwill I have because they've brought along the ironically, I think the guy's name is Rory, right?
Yes.
And while I don't think the actor's terrible, I don't hate him or anything. I just don't find, one, I don't think she has, I mean, it starts off that in the beginning of the season that she kind of is with this guy because she's kind of settled. He's not a bad guy, but she's kind of settled for this doofus nurse guy. And in this episode, she has to make this choice in the dream world or whatever about, like, would it have been better for her to be pregnant and settled with him or for her to still be with the doctor just going on wacky adventures even though they might die because there's this weird dream master character that is putting the characters in peril. And I've never really felt any chemistry with Amy and Rory. I think you said it best yourself, Olivia. I always think they feel like more like siblings. And so this episode, I don't know, it just really kind of strained my patience because I was just like, I just don't really find this three thing interesting. I'd rather have her hanging out with the doctor, going on wacky adventures, even if in the back of my mind I know, well, they're never really going to get together because it's Doctor Who. That's just kind of the structure of the show. I still would have liked that flirting and stuff. I don't really care about that. And I know, I think, Olivia, you've said, well, I think the reason Rory's there is that the doctor brings him there to defuse that, which is what the writers also do. And I'm saying I don't think that's interesting. I find that just kind of bland and stuff. So,
well, I from a story standpoint, I think that Rory is interesting when he's not with Amy. I find him interesting with the doctor, and I think he's interesting with other people. But when he's with Amy, and you tell me that, especially at the end of the episode, you're telling me that she's choosing between, she thinks that world is real, and she is pregnant with an unborn child, and she's like, but I love Rory so much that I'm willing to kill myself and my unborn child to get him back.
Child. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and I'm willing to sacrifice all that because I love Rory so much. At that point, I don't believe you.
I don't believe it at all either.
And I didn't buy it. Right, and I mean, I think she's fond of him, I think she cares about him, but even as the words are coming out of her mouth about how much she loves him, I'm like, why are you lying? Mainly because, and then when they do get him back, her reaction to getting him back is not that of someone who's realized, oh my God, I've loved him all my life. I don't believe it. I believe that he might be in love with her. Like, he's playing it like he's in love with her and he's disappointed that she doesn't love him as much. So I think Rory, as the actor and the character, I think he's playing his role exactly the way he's supposed to play it. The problem is, I don't think Amy, I don't know exactly how they're... Actually, based on what they've given me in this episode, I do not believe that Amy is in love with this guy. There's nothing in her performance, there's nothing in... The dialogue is there, but it's just not there. So, yeah, I don't believe that at all. But I like Rory as a character. Mickey, because you compared him to Mickey, and I think Mickey started off as a goofball, and he becomes a really good character later. I think Rory's actually starts off in a better spot. I think he's way more interesting on his own. I think he's fun, and I like the way he interacts with the doctor. I just don't buy his relationship. And if you tell me they get married in the end, I don't believe you.
And it's, and also, it's such a different thing, because with Mickey, in a weird way, which is, you know, with Rose, he almost had a leg up on the doctor because he was in a relationship with Rose way before Rose ever met the doctor. The whole thing about this season is this little girl has grown up idolizing this man that she met, you know, for this one night, for a couple hours. I mean, how do you compete with that? And he's the doctor. You know, so as an audience, we're like, that's Doctor Who. Like, I think it's just such an impossible thing to go against, you know.
Greg, what do you think?
I think I mentioned this before, but, you know, Amy is really the first companion that, for the doctor, that I haven't really cared about. And I was wondering if it's just because it's a new season and everything's kind of changed, you know, and of course I'm going to compare her to all of the previous companions that I know from the reboot of the series, including Rose and...
Donna.
Thank you.
Martha.
Thank you. I've been watching several episodes, and I just really... You know, I mean, they presented it that she cares about the doctor, and they've done the whole thing where she met him as a child. But, you know, some of the comments that you've made, Libby, about how he just goes off and leaves her in peril, and you know, and now they brought this this fiancé along. I, you know, from my point of view, she could get sucked into a black hole, and I really wouldn't care.
Wow, that's pretty strong.
I wouldn't go that far. I did like her. I liked her. And Greg, maybe you can see if... well, just to clarify, if we're talking about the actress or we're talking about Amy, Amelia Pond, I really... my wife never watches Doctor Who, and I was like, oh, this pilot's pretty good. You know, this premiere's really good. You should watch it. Like, that opening... With that little girl, the little redhead girl that's playing, you know, the younger version, when she gets her little suitcase together and she's going to go on this magical adventure, there's this weird part of me that's like, maybe that should have been the show.
Because,
one, there'd be no sexual tension, but it would still be a character that is so into and probably protective of the Raggedy Doctor. Like, and I'm wondering, maybe that would have been the solution, because that actress was really good. And I don't know, I wouldn't have seen that before. Sometimes I feel like Amy, unfortunately, probably because she is a redhead, it's hard for me not to compare her to Donna. And Donna was such a force of nature. She was, you know, she had no interest in the doctor. She's like, oh, please, I'm not interested in you. And she's older, and she was awesome. So I sometimes feel like the way they've cast the new girl, the new companion, is, it is a little... diminishing returns. And I was a big defender of this girl in the big first couple episodes.
I have to point out to Peter again that having the doctor run around with an 8-year-old girl would be constitute as kidnapping.
But he can return her. He can return her the night before.
Yes, but then she'll be like 12. She'll be 12 years old. He returns her to the same night.
Just a couple of years. It's okay. It'd just be like a semester of school. She's only gone for 8 months or something. No big deal.
Yes, and she's miraculously grown overnight.
That
just made me think of something. It seems like the previous companions, the doctor chooses them because there's something about them that makes them brilliant.
Right.
And we see them, even though they're kind of taken out of their normal humdrum lives and taken on the TARDIS and they go to all these different places, they seem to rise to the occasion and help the doctor out in some way or figure something out that maybe even the doctor hasn't figured out. And so they're part of the solution to whatever the antagonist is for the episode.
Right.
But I haven't seen Amy do that. It seems like every episode has been the doctor's been saving her.
Actually, they've had a couple episodes where she does figure stuff out. My only problem is it feels scripted. Versus, I feel like her character naturally came to that conclusion. It felt like, to me, that the writing is like, oh, and she says this here, so therefore she did, and therefore she saved us. And I'm like, it didn't feel natural. And the couple times I've done it is in the vampire episode, she uses a mirror and burns up this guy. And I was like, eh, that was kind of cheesy. And then I think she did it, the one with the Beast Below. She figures that out, which was actually not bad. I actually didn't mind that. That was the one where she figures out that the Beast is actually came to save the children and they don't need to torture it.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually a pretty good, that was a pretty good Amy solution. I will totally give her credit for that one.
I agree. I like that too.
But some of the other ones felt a little false. And I can't explain it, what's going on. So
you know, and now that you mention that, and I think back to that episode, you know, now that you mention it, yeah, she did figure it out, but for some reason by the end of the episode, with the doctor kind of giving all the exposition about the creature coming to Earth, even at the end of the episode, I feel like the doctor figured it out.
No, but he didn't, because he was prepared to kill it.
Yeah, that's true. But I see what Greg is saying, though.
All right. Well, I don't want to be, like, super negative on Doctor Who, because it feels like it's been... like, the last time we talked good about the show was The Weeping Angels, which was, like, what, 4 weeks ago, you know? So
that was fantastic. That was great. I love that. And actually, Livia, you, unlike the rest of us, you've seen next week's episode and you liked it. You're not going to spoil it, but I mean, so that's a positive thing to look
I cannot
forward.
Confirm or deny that I've seen an episode ahead of time.
Oh, wait, wanted to say something. Should have also been in news. I'm not sure how many people still read, you know, magazines. But Entertainment Weekly this weekend comes out with their the 100 greatest characters of the last 20 years. And it's just, you know, it's a fun read. Remember, this is characters, not actors. So, you can have Homer Simpson or Eric Cartman or Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And as I said, Buffy is number three. There is no way Sarah Michelle Gellar would ever be number three of anything. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, yes, she could certainly be number three for important characters, you know. So, but it's kind of a fun read. So,
all right. So that's your last comment. Greg, do you have any last comments before we wrap up?
No, other than, you know, a lot of my favorite shows have wrapped up. I'm looking forward to the summer and actually getting into some new shows and catching up on shows that I never did see, like Lost. So it should be a fun summer.
Excellent.
I'm looking forward to watching The Wire.
And I am looking forward to finishing up West Wing. All right, if you guys have any comments or thoughts or feedback, please send them to tvcampfire@gmail.com, and I look forward to talking to you guys next week.